All right. Well, this is, of course, the Noisy Banana, and I am DJ Gimme Gimme. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Today's a special episode. Of course, you know, if you're a regular listener, you know that I pretty much do by myself a show that kind of centers around the punk genre, but today we're doing things a little bit differently because I have two very good friends in the studio with me, and we're just going to be going off of their recommendations and our favorites and just whatever we feel like playing. And so if we can hear you guys, go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm Jack. I'm from Florida. And I have long blonde hair, and that's how people know me, I guess.
Oh my God, do you surf?
No, I wakeboard.
And who's this other friend I have to my right?
I am Ben, and if you can believe it, I've had that name since birth.
All right, well, we have Jack and Ben with us today in the studio. Not too long ago, indulged in some Pizza Day's Cinnaballs. The Cinnaballs, which are just such an awkward order.
We had to frost them ourselves.
Yeah, well, no, that's the other part of it, is that they're not glazed by the restaurant. They give you a packet, and they go, you do it, and it doesn't look pretty, you know?
It's like, do you remember at Starbucks when you would order one of the pastries and they used to like give it to you like in the bag, like they had just pulled it out of the nice oven? But like 2 years ago, they started to just not care, and they just pulled out of like the box of 500 in like the packaging from the factory, just handed it to you and said, here you go.
Oh yeah, no, this frosting is rock solid. It was like gelatin.
So bad. It was viscous. It was viscous. Yeah, for sure. Would we recommend it to our listeners? I don't know. If it's 3 a.m. like it is now, oh, go for it. You know,
I agree. But it's better than the cheese bread.
I say 5 out of 10, but a tough 7 out of 10.
Well, anyway, so guys, you know, is there anything that you're interested in hearing tonight? I mean, all things are on the table.
Well, I know that if I recommend what I want to recommend,
it's going to be the Beatles. My friend Jack here is an all Beatles guy. So
not all. You know,
yeah. If you tune in next semester, maybe you'll hear an all Beatles show that he's doing. I don't know. We'll see.
That would get repetitive.
He also listens to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's not.
Oh, old. Right. That's also true. Yeah. No, there's actually there's not just one band, but you can still count it on one hand. You know, that's yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I can be you and know one song from every band in rock history.
I could. It's, you know, it's the depth versus breadth, you know, so
that's true. I think depth is better. I thought about it a lot, not just because I have depth instead of breadth, but just because
I have depth.
I just think that overall, when it comes down to experiencing what an artist wants you to get out of their music, an entire album and an entire library is something that's much more valuable, I think, than one song from everybody.
Ben, what's your take on this? Because I my goal was to just expose myself to as much stuff as possible. You know, Jack, on the other hand, is like, I want to know these bands like the back of my hand. You know, maybe like at the expense of like, you know, venturing out. But then, you know, me, you know, the reverse, you know, exposing myself to everything but never like for more than a day or two. You know, like what's your take on that? You know, like are you more of a breadth guy or a depth guy?
Yeah, I mean, I was always more of just like I just picked songs that I liked. But last couple of years I've been listening to a lot more albums, but I'm still not super knowledgeable about that the album as like an actual art form, and so I don't really have depth with a ton of bands or any bands at all. So I think depth is better.
Jack, did you say that you won't listen to a band for more than 1 or 2 days?
No, I mean
not ever, but like consecutively, and like for
what you do, where you like play the same song, or like you listen to a song like 8 or 9 times a day. Like I can't do that. Like I can't listen to the same song like 8 or 9 times a day, you know. Like I got like I will grow tired of it, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same. I get I get two listens a day, maybe, at most.
Really?
If I get more than two, I'm bored.
I will get up, I will walk out of the dorm, listen to that song, go to Carm, leave Carm, listen to that song, go to class, leave class, put that song on again, and then maybe I'll switch it up if it's like a longer walk. But yeah, I listen to a song for a lot, yeah.
So if I walked up to you and I was like, what's the song of the day? Like, you'd have a good answer for
bring
me.
It on
like,
home.
Bring it on home. What is the song of today?
Bring It On Home.
We're gonna play it.
Bring It On Home. It's the final song on Led Zeppelin 2. It's a great song. It starts out really simple, and it's got a standard like harmonica. Not standard, but it's got a harmonica, and the singing's kind of low and stuff. Then it picks up and turns into like a real hard Led Zeppelin song. It's great.
Okay.
It's
well,
it's a good album closer.
All right. Well, you know, we're gonna listen to Jack's song of the day. This is this is some Led Zeppelin. Here you go.
Yeah.
classic harmonica.
Yeah, yeah, good old harmonica ending. Once again, if you just tuned in, this is the Noisy Banana. I'm DJ Gimme Gimme. I know it's a stupid name. You know, I can't really explain it, but you know, it's whatever. we've just been, you know, I'm with two good buddies here. We have Jack and Ben with us, and we're just playing around, just doing stuff that we like. Is there anything else that you guys are particularly feeling, or should I go ahead and play something that I'm going with, or what? You
know? I mean, you're the DJ expert.
I mean, I'm a DJ. I don't know. But, I mean,
the way I phrase it, man, it sounds like you're an expert on DJs.
On DJing, yeah.
He knows every DJ in history.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. DJ expert.
Teaching a class up on campus this semester, so, yeah.
Look out for it at the X College.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what? I'm in a Lou Reed mood. So we're gonna do that. All right. Unless any objections.
No, I don't want to Lou Reed.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, while that song was playing, which was Lou Reed, if you're just tuning in, we had a small debate over which SpongeBob episode was the best. But I mean, is it really a debate? Because I thought most of the world was in agreement that it's Band Geeks, right? It's Band Geeks,
yeah,
isn't it?
Okay. Yes, but and like that's my favorite too. But I think there's.
I think Fry Cook Games could be up there.
I think Fry Cook Games is definitely in there.
I
think one that you don't see enough anymore that Nick doesn't play enough is Pretty Patties.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I think it's a classic one. Not that it's the best.
Not tainted meat. Painted meat.
I have not seen Pretty Patties in forever. I think that SB129 is also up there.
That's a good one. What about Doodle Bob?
Oh yeah. That one's definitely in the discussion. Also, I forget the name of the episode, but where they go into Sandy's dome while she's in hibernation in winter.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
who are you calling?
Dirty Dan.
Dirty Dan.
You know, like that segment in and of itself. I mean, almost just makes it a top ranking. That's just so good.
I just think Band Geeks is the most accurate portrayal of marching band I've ever seen. As someone who has been in a marching band.
Do your flag twirlers usually explode? Go sailing into the sky.
Yeah, the school board banned flag twirling from our school because they crashed into a helicopter.
Yeah, rip flag twirlers.
It's tragic. I think that Band Geeks gets itself up there much easier because it has that magnificent musical number. And, like, it's funny, but and it has good one-liners, but if you're talking about, like, I think humor, I think Doodle Bob is objectively funnier, because Doodle Bob is an entire episode of laughs, because the entire base of that episode is Doodle Bob doing that noise that's apparently freaks SpongeBob out. And just Patrick gets the wrench dropped on his head.
Where's the leak, ma'am?
I don't know. I think that one is incredibly funny.
See, when I think of Band Geeks, I don't even think of the ending with the song. It doesn't even cross my mind because the rest of the episode is just so good. But also, you say that Doodle Bob is objectively funnier. There's no objectively funny.
Oh yeah, no. Here's a discussion
we can
have.
Just
here.
Gets used is, so
is,
often.
Is you know, are there is there you know, something can be objectively funnier than something else, because like I think like you know like it through common argument like it seems like stuff is like obviously I find SpongeBob to be objectively more funny than Two Broke Girls or so, you know, something like that. But also, you know, can I say that when like there's also people out there that might think the reverse?
But you finding it objectively funnier is by definition not
subjective. Yeah.
I had this argument. I had an argument similar to this every week last year with this kid named Ian. Yeah, who had hair like Jack.
Was
so
it cool?
He knew everything about music.
No, that means he wasn't.
And he would always argue that music is, by and large, objective.
I also have a friend that believes that there's like objective, like there's an objectively the best artist. Of course, our friend Jack over here believes that answer is the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
My friend back home believes that it's objectively Bach. Is like if you look at it from like a music theory standpoint, like Bach was the best, you know, like there hasn't been anybody since who's even comparable. But I don't even know, I mean, like what's more valid, you know, like the opinion that says that like Bach is the best and the opinion that says like T-Pain is the best, you know, like how do you quantify those? I mean, you can't go by any like measuring stick because it's just personal opinion. It's absolutely subjective. You cannot definitively say that Bach is better than T-Pain, and as frustrating as that is, and also T-Pain, if you're listening, why, dude, why? You knew your kid's birthday was the day of the concert, so come on, dude. But also, I'm defending you right now against Johann Sebastian Bach, so you're welcome. But you cannot definitively say that Bach is better than T-Pain.
I think that is a weasel of a way to get out of that argument. We had this argument 2 weeks ago. I so disagree with that. To say that you can't even begin to talk about who's better, Bach or T-Pain, because music is so up to people's opinions. It's just, it makes me sad to think that that's as far as argument can go. And sure, like, I understand, and you're right, music is people's opinion, and there's going to be someone who, for the reasons that we find other music better than theirs, is going to find T-Pain better than Bach. I still think that the argument can be had. You just have to know that that is unfortunately part of it.
But I think we got it. Or Ben, you had something to say?
I was just going to say that just you can argue whatever you want. Like, just by virtue of arguing, like, no one argues to convince the other side, right? You argue because you want to say what you want to say, and you want them to listen to you, but they're not going to because they're just trying to say what they're trying to say. But I agree with DJ
Gimme Gimme.
I agree with DJ Gimme Gimme entirely in that just, I mean, music is art, and art is subjective, and there is no objectivity to it. There is, you know, there are artists who most of the people in the world will agree are better than other artists. The Beatles, for instance, most of the world would agree that they
should. I should use that argument from now on.
What?
The one you just presented?
I'm arguing against you.
I can spin that as a four.
No, the fact that the Beatles are the most popular is just evidence of the fact that they're the most popular. Like, that doesn't point to any objective, like, quality fact. Yeah, like, that's...
Okay,
like,
true, that doesn't. It doesn't at all.
This is the argument I would always have with Ian, is that he would say, because most people say X is better than Y, X is better than Y. Which I think is completely wrong. Like, entirely wrong. Because there's no objectivity to art and to music, because if one person in the world can say, I don't think that's better, then it's not better. It's better to you, and it's better to whoever says it's better to them, but that doesn't mean it's better. Even if no one says it, but someone has the ability to say it, it's still not objective.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, oh, well, you know, like, that stops us from having a discussion, you know, but I think the thing is that, like, you make the argument as to why the Beatles is better than T-Pain for you. Like, why, like, you personally, like, these are the reasons why I prefer the Beatles over T-Pain, or this is why Bach is better than T-Pain, or, so, you know, whatever. Like, but to tell a person that, like, when they say that that T-Pain, you know, that they like T-Pain more than the Beatles, you can't just go up to that person and be like, well, you are objectively wrong, sir, because it's a matter of taste.
Well, it's also based on, you know, on your situation. Let's say the only time you listen to music is when you're dancing at clubs, right?
That's
your
true.
Only basis for music is just, I want to go to the club and I want to dance. In that scenario, you're going to pick T-Pain over the Beatles. And for what you're doing, T-Pain is better than the Beatles.
Correct. I would agree. But we're... Okay, yes. Yes. You're right. But I think that... You brought up an interesting point, I think, about how if people think that X is better than Y, generally, then X is better than Y. And musically, does that make them a better artist? No, not at all. It doesn't suddenly transform them into something better than they are. But I think that... All right, don't be upset at me for saying this.
That's not a good way to start.
I know. Right. But I'm ready to be upset. I'm being peered at right now, and I'm awaiting the onslaught. I think that when it comes down to people's opinions and that perception is reality, if everyone... Okay, you know what? Here, I'm gonna back at home, I used to have this argument all the time with my friends. If we all got together and said that Ben did not exist, and we all 100% believed that, would Ben really exist? Ben would exist to Ben, but no one else, because everybody had agreed on it, and it was 100% certain, and we'd all moved on and forgotten about him.
But
so then what happens when I punch someone in the face?
Ben isn't art.
Your,
like,
punch,
no,
in the face would be completely unacknowledged.
But they would still be punched in the face. They would still get hurt.
Like, Ben, yes. There are quantifiable things about Ben, you know? Like, Ben is not art. Like, no offense, Ben. Like, I think you're a piece of art. But like, there are quantifiable... Ben has a mass and a volume, and, like, objective things can be stated about Ben. His vital signs, like, he's... Like, there are certain truths within our friend Ben Gaspin.
Exactly, and that's the argument that I would make.
Bengaspin.
That's the argument that I would make to counter my friends, because I thought that sort of standpoint was ludicrous. But in a way, you know, being better or the best, it's still under the confines of what we've decided is better and the best. And so that if a group of people get together, the group of people being, you know, everybody, and deciding that they think that, or a majority thinks that, say, the Beatles are the best, then I think that holds some weight.
Well, there's a difference between everybody and the majority. You started That's saying true. Everybody, and then you said you switched it to the majority.
By everybody, I meant the world, but then I realized that everybody sounded like I meant unison, which was not the case, because it's not unison.
So then, what did you mean then?
I meant majority.
Okay. So majority meaning there is still dissent.
Yes.
Okay.
But there's dissent in most things and
everything.
Yeah.
And people still get elected. Yeah.
Well, now we're talking elections. I don't know. We could go down the political road, or
I was about to pull up a popular vote thing, but
we were going to talk about well, okay, but I mean, there's certainly, you know, there's certainly a, like, you could point, yeah, I mean,
not my president.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, you know, the majority of people think the Beatles are great, but then also, like, you know, a majority of, I mean, there's, you know, there's also like half of America that is like really big on Trump and half of America that's like not. And so, I mean, you know, this, I don't know if you can necessarily go by.
But I felt like, Ben, you were about to counter my argument with there being dissent on something. And I feel like, were you?
But like, the point is that dissenters are not wrong simply because they're dissenters. So if somebody says, I hate the Beatles, they're not wrong just because they're a minority.
No, I agree. But as we've... But most of the things in society are decided by a majority. Because unison of that many people is really impossible. Then I think a majority of people believing that X is better than Y should hold some weight. Even though it does not improve the quality of X.
We never said it doesn't hold weight. Just that it doesn't objectively mean 100% this is the best thing.
Okay.
Like, I agree the Beatles are better than T-Pain.
Yeah, thank you.
Most of the world agrees that the Beatles are better than T-Pain. Right?
I don't hope so.
I mean, there's just like three guys alone in the club one night who were just like, T-Pain.
And one of them was T-Pain.
All of them were T-Pain.
T-Pain's a kid.
Right, so the large majority of the world believes that the Beatles are better than T-Pain. But in that one scenario that I laid out earlier, T-Pain's better than the Beatles.
T-Pain's a better choice.
Ooh, wait, okay. Better
T-Pain's better for that. T-Pain's not better.
Well, but I think the fact that like there can be better artists depending on scenario, like, is a better argument for the subjectivity of it rather than the objectivity of it. Like, I think that points to the fact that art is subjective.
Oh, I agree. I'm not trying to attack that.
All right. Well, then get your objectivist stuff out of here, dude.
Okay. I used the word once, and now we're here.
Okay. Well, I think this discussion warrants playing some of the greatest band ever. Some T-Pain. No. We'll play a little bit of the Beatles. You know, you guys can decide for yourself whether or not it's a surreal experience. So here we go. Here's some Come Together.
Knee.
All right. Well, that was the Beatles, you know, per request. So anyway, it's about halfway through the hour. So it's time for a PSA. Take it away, Ben.
There's something very dangerous in your home. Could be hiding in a closet or waiting in your basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item.
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone.
We actually have one of those trauma center victims with us today. Would you like to tell us about your experience, Mr. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
DJ Gimme Gimme.
Would you like to tell us about your experience with ladders?
Well, ladders are deceptive. They're deceptive. As a member of the roofing business in the summers, I know the dangers of ladders. They're not to be messed with. And for more tips on ladder safety, visit ortho.info.org/ladder safety. This has been a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety-minded friends here at WMFO and Medford Tufts Community Radio. Jack, you laugh, but ladders are no laughing matter.
Well, I laugh only because that sentence says that people fell from their ladders into the trauma centers.
Well, I think that was,
wonder,
I mean,
are
how
people scaling the trauma centers?
No, I think it was lucky that somebody placed a trauma center below them. Imagine if the trauma center had not been there to catch their fall.
Are the trauma centers always in need of elevated human repair? Is the top of the door frame always broken in
okay,
the trauma center?
Okay, we're going to amend the PSA. The PSA is that if you're climbing a ladder, make sure to put a trauma center directly below you.
Also, if so you're in a trauma center, make sure there are ladders around.
Yes.
Just in case you need to fall off.
If you need to make your way into a trauma center, buy a ladder. Yeah. Quick PSA out to everybody out there with ladders, and doing shenanigans on them. Stop it.
Speaking of ladders, earlier we were having a conversation about something that has nothing to do with ladders at all. You like that transition?
Segues provided by yeah. Ben Gaspin. Man.
We were talking about bands that we used to really enjoy when we were younger, and now that we've amended our ways, we just kind of can't help but looking back and thinking, ooh,
yeah,
oh.
Yep,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I myself had a couple Good Charlotte songs on the old iPod shuffle that were huge hits of my childhood. Nowadays I would not touch that with a 40-foot pole. What do you think, guys? Do you have some memorable ones?
Oh yeah, even from a even little Ben, see, knew that Nickelback was bad, right? Don't go near Nickelback. But Chris Daughtry.
Yeah.
Oh, whole different story.
Say that. Okay. Yes.
Chris Daughtry, I liked.
My guilty pleasures were. Well, okay, I call them guilty pleasures now.
Oh, no, yeah, at the time, these weren't guilty.
No, they were just pleasures.
These were, I found the best music. Matchbox 20, Logan's and Messina, I don't know. They had one song that they had featured in the movie RV with the late, great Robin Williams and Cheryl Hines. And Josh Hutcherson, little Josh Hutcherson is in that movie, and his jawline is still just as pronounced. And there was just... Jeff Daniels was in it too. And so Jeff Daniels was in it, and he was in a bus. I don't know what's going on right now,
sure,
but they
it
would...
An RV.
I think it was an RV.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No. It was... Actually, excuse me. It was a bus. I swear it was a bus. because Robin Williams was in an RV that he rented, and Will Arnett was in it too somehow. But no, but they met.
I think he was cast in it.
That's true. Anyway, they had this. Logan's Messina had some sort of country song featured in that movie. But I would go. I would listen. I would watch these movies, and I would listen to the soundtracks and be like, "Wow, I love that song. Let me find it." And I would find it, and I would put it. Do you guys remember Zune?
Oh yeah.
I had one of those before I had an iPod.
You had a Zune.
I did. I had a Zune. Excuse me. I had the knockoff Nickelodeon brand, like, kids' Zune.
Oh, my God. You had a Boone? I don't know if that's...
Oh, I thought that was what it was called. I was like, oh, my God, what's it called? Oh, no. They were these, like, little like a Snap Pea Pod. You know what those are? And I would put, like, 20 songs on them. And, yeah, I think I had, like, Toxic by Britney Spears, that Logan's and Messina song.
I don't care what anyone says. Toxic by Britney.
Okay, thank you for saying that.
That's a great song.
I was thinking that in my head. I was like, oh, crap. Like, I actually...
No, I love that song.
Yeah.
those are the songs that stand...
That song still bangs, right?
Those are the songs that stand the test of time. One song that does not, Fire Burning.
Oh, my God. Okay.
This is now the second time you've mentioned Fire Burning tonight.
It's honestly... Okay, I woke up this morning and I was stuck in my head. And I thought that I was cursed for the rest of my life.
Somebody call 911. This song needs to be taken to an early grave.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Should walk it up a ladder.
And put no trauma center beneath it.
That song should mess around on a ladder.
Jack, do you have I'm Jack. DJ Gimme, do you have old bands that you used to like?
I definitely had some Sum 41. There was, let's see here. Ooh, oh my goodness. Trying to think of other stuff. There were dark points of my life.
Well, while you think, I spent a good 2 or 3 years obsessed with the band Train.
Oh,
who?
Wow!
I stand by. Drops of Jupiter is a great song.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah, I can roll with that.
Hey Soul Sister and Drive By and I don't want to admit that I know the names of all of the other ones, but I do. I saw Train live.
Wow.
3 times.
What?
Oh, I have the worst one. Guess which was the first concert DJ Gimme Gimme ever went to.
Are you going to give us like multiple choice or is it just
recent visitor to the Trump White House?
Kid Rock.
Yes.
Oh my God. You saw that human cigarette?
I saw Kid Rock live. It was the first concert that I ever went to. I was very little.
Could you smell him?
But I still remember, like, the 39-year-old women that had already put down, you know, I saw traumatizing things in that crowd. Like, it was, I've never seen so many parents make out. And, wow. And, yeah, that concert, wow. Yeah, I've almost just blocked it.
Wow.
Yikes.
Could you smell him from where you were sitting in the stands?
I mean, not quite.
Did his stench travel the entire arena?
I mean, his fan base does that.
That's true. Yep.
For him.
About, you're gonna like this actually, Ben. About Train, the 7th grade talent show. I got up there with my best friend Joe. And we sang Hey Soul Sister. And it was most likely horrifying.
So at my own bar mitzvah.
Oh, no.
Me and my good friend Nick Sinitsky went up and sang Hey Soul Sister.
Hey! What year was that?
In 7th grade.
Oh, my God! Why did I never do that?
He was in 6th grade. I was in 7th grade.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So both of you guys. Wow, I didn't know that Train song had such a connection to my friend group.
It made waves.
Well, if you're listening to this show and you've also been touched by a train song, feel free to call in.
You know we have to play, right?
No, we're not. I'm sorry, but I'm in control of music tonight, and I'm saving you guys toxic. From... We're not... Oh, we might. But I don't know. Yeah, just as long as it's not...
Wait, okay. What's the role of Hazel's sister or Drops of Jupiter?
I think Drops of Jupiter's fine. You know, it's like, you know, every... Okay,
but what's so wrong? What's so, like...
But, you know, that song really crescendos. I like that about a song, you know. It's like...
Drops of Jupiter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
It's got the na-na part.
Well, that, and, you know, that gets the audience in it, you know,
on your point, Hey Soul Sister, though, that song has a line about Pat Monahan just having a super hairy chest.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It says, my heart will beat right out of my untrimmed chest. That's a line I still I do still know every word to that song.
Real quick, I have to ask a question. Who is Pat Monahan?
He's the lead singer of Trent.
You knew that.
I don't forget things.
I don't know.
You forgot my name first day of college.
Who are you?
Another one is I used to just unironically listen to of course, everyone's favorite Bare Naked Ladies song. Yes, man. One week since you learned it. Oh, man. Oh. Yep, that used to be on the old Pandora station.
I used to binge listen. Oh, my God. Wait. I have the worst one. My greatest old band love, The Fray.
Oh, no, I like The Fray a lot.
Oh, boy.
The Fray version of Heartless, the Kanye West song. The Fray version. I used to listen to that every day.
Okay. I listened to that song recently. Not good at all. Really just awful. But kind of cool music video. It's got this kid writing in his notebook, and then everything he draws comes to life and just walks across the notebook to the beat of the song.
They had the money for that?
Yeah, and it's like actually pretty well done. It looks pretty cool. But the little kid that he draws that's walking across the notebook is just so clearly super emo.
Oh, really?
And just like, are you pulling it up?
Oh, no, I'm not pulling it up right now, but...
It's kind of a cool video, but it's just, like, it's so depressing to watch.
Mm, really? That whole album is... Yeah, I used to listen to that song, listen to How to Save a Life.
Yeah, Cable Car.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, I gotcha.
Wow.
We've found it,
can't believe these are song names that I don't know, and that means that you guys listen to too much of this band.
You would know these songs, all right? It would take you right back to sixth and seventh grade.
Oh man!
Did you ever listen to? Simple Plan.
Oh, did I listen to Simple Plan?
Simple Plan.
The only reason I ever listened to Simple Plan was because the Scooby-Doo 2 DVD bonus features had one of the Simple Plan music videos on it.
For me, it was Cheaper by the Dozen. Cheaper by the Dozen has a Simple Plan song in it.
Liked songs that appeared in movies that you watched.
Oh, we like songs specifically that appear in forgettable mid-2000s movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I did. I listened to Simple Plan, but that was earlier. That was...
So when you say listen to them, do you listen to like them like album by album?
No, I listened to like two songs they had.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, because you said... Oh, okay, that's what I was wondering. So I was going to say, did you like religiously listen to Simple Plan?
Simple Plan catalog, it's excellent.
Do they still make music?
Truly, objectively, the best music.
Do they still like produce stuff?
Simple Plan?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh my God.
I can Google it.
I would love to know.
I'm gonna Google it.
That would be so funny. Yeah, but the Scooby-Doo 2 bonus features, Simple Plan music video. They were in a hotel, and they were chasing down the Scooby-Doo gang, and they couldn't find them. You know, those Menland kids.
Cool.
I told Mr. Gimme Gimme this earlier, but my white whale of songs for a long time was Ocean Avenue by, who's it by?
Yellow Card.
By Yellow Card. I heard that song a couple times when I was 6 years old, and then every now and then it would pop into my head and I would have no idea what it was, and I would try to explain what it was to people and no one would have any idea, like literally no one I talked to. And then one day when I was 17, I was driving in Malibu because I live in Los Angeles, and I passed by Ocean Avenue, like the real one.
Oh, the one, yeah, the one that the song's named
and
after?
It clicked for me, and I was just like, oh my God, that's the song that 6 year old me was so obsessed with. And I listened to it and I was so disappointed in myself. That is not a good song.
You're not alone. We've all got those songs.
Did you ever play Rock Band or Guitar Hero?
I did not. I mean, like, I didn't really have like those consoles as a kid.
I played a lot of Rock Band.
Yeah, I played a lot of Guitar Hero. And see, a lot of my music taste when I was a kid came from movies, TV shows, Guitar Hero. So the only reason I know the words to All the Small Things by Blink-182 is because of Guitar Hero. Because somehow that song was like a real shred, you know? Like a real gnarly one to play on guitar, which it's totally not. But yeah, those reason of that song or anything by OK Go.
OK Go still makes music.
Oh, yeah, they still put stuff. Yeah. I actually have friends that are like really into
their videos. OK Go. Cool. Yeah. So Simple Plan had an album last year.
How poorly did
no
it do?
No way.
I don't know.
Did it pull a Shia LaBeouf?
For those of you who don't know, and by those of you I mean literally just us because no one's listening right now, but Shia LaBeouf had a movie out recently, and in the UK it sold a single ticket. And that's beautiful.
$7 gross revenue. They had to give like two or three of it to the theater probably, so like $4 net.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf made a movie so he could buy a bad hot dog.
It has like Gary Oldman in it.
And yeah, it's got like actual actors.
Real actors like, with a real director. It's not like some fake Shia LaBeouf movie. He's just in a movie.
Yeah, it's not like a performance art like he usually does. It's just a movie that he was in, and everyone saw Shia LaBeouf and thought, yeah, I'll pass.
Poor guy. Yeah. Well, as we come to the top of the hour, I just remind you guys that this is the Noisy Banana. I'm DJ Gimme Gimme. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and I mean we've been talking so much. We've successfully played four songs, so if we want to put in a couple more before we head out, do we have any special requests? Toxic it is.
Before we start that, just I'm on the Wikipedia page for Simple Plan, and under charts, if you click on charts, there's a drop down menu, and the menu has zero things in it. It's just
an empty menu
for the charts.
Okay, actually something amazing. Today I was on Wikipedia and I was looking on David Bowie's page. And I went to spouses.
Oh, this was so funny. Well, yeah, I saw this.
I clicked on his second wife, Iman, who is a Somalian actress, I think. And so it shows her spouses. It's David Bowie, and then a guy before it, before David Bowie, and then a guy before that, who's listed in Wikipedia as Somali man.
He's
just. He has a Wikipedia page,
well,
though.
Wait. Is his name Somali man?
No.
It's like literally married from like 1975. Somali man.
Then it's like Stephen Farrow, and then it says David Bowie. Her first husband was Somali man.
But then she ascended. She climbed the ranks. Yeah. Poor guy.
You know, to be in a category of three, and one of the people in the category is David Bowie.
You're not just a Somali man. You're a. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my god. Because like the category could just be like people named David.
But
it's not that cool.
But you wouldn't be one of three though.
don't know, what if they just picked three random Davids? It's like you, you're David, and then like, I don't know, David Spade.
David,
David Bowie. Because out of three random Davids, you get two celebrities.
That's true.
All right. Well, we are gonna indulge in some Britney Spears, which is probably gonna be the most like off the beaten path that my personal show will ever go. So, amongst all of the Misfits and Black Flag, here's some Britney Spears.
Baby, can't you see I'm cold?